Say anything.
Okay.
I'm just gonna put this here. And put this like this.
It's really low.
And you can, I'll put it higher.
There we go.
Good. Remember, if anyone misbehaves, you get booed today, right? Right?
Booed? Booed.
Booed.
Okay, yeah, so this, let's see, through July, we're gonna be reading through Philippians. So, we're just gonna do a chapter each Wednesday. And I kind of have, like, three main points for today. And so, like, hopefully these are, like, easy to remember this way. Is that the first point is suffering for your sake. Paul suffers for the sake of the Philippian church. And also the people that suffered for us so that we could have freedom. Even, like, it's kind of perfect, this 4th of July coming up. I was just thinking about how in the same way that Paul was in prison writing these letters to the Philippian church, telling them, like, keep going, encouraging them to remember the gospel, preaching the gospel everywhere he went until he finally was arrested. In the same way that the soldiers, you know, did everything they could so that we would have freedom here, to even be out here, like, you know, preaching, to, like, hear the gospel freely. There's nobody, you know, watching us so that we don't get to hear this truth. And that's really not the case everywhere in the world. And then the second one is suffering for their sake. So Paul calls the Philippians to do the same, that he's in prison. He can't actively be out there. And so he's telling them, like, you need to keep preaching the gospel no matter what it takes, no matter the cost, because there are people who are lost and need to know the gospel. And then the last one is suffering together. Paul encourages the church that he's suffering. They're going to suffer too. Like, whether that be, in their case, they were being persecuted and killed, right? You guys have this freedom today where, like, you can go to school and you can wear a cross necklace and nobody's gonna come after you, right? Like, there's this freedom that we have in America, but it's not like that everywhere. And so, like, there's different ways that we can suffer. We can be uncomfortable. Our pride can be bruised. We can humiliate ourselves because we go out of the way to talk to somebody about Jesus and they reject us. Or somebody says, you know, you're that weird Christian girl or boy. Like, that happens. And so, like, in that way, that's kind of like our suffering. It can also be as far as your family rejecting you, though, too. I have friends back home that, I'm a middle school leader back home. And I have some students that their parents are not believers, but they are. And they're trying to bring their parents to church. And that's not the way it should be. Like, you should be growing up in a home, you know, this is the ideal. You grow up in a home where your parents are discipling you to know Jesus. But that's not always the case. And so we're thankful for any chance that somebody can hear the gospel. But that means that somebody has to suffer for the sake of it. And so after reading through Philippians chapter 1, I couldn't help but connect Paul's imprisonment for the sake of the gospel to our freedom in America, fought for by soldiers and prisoners. Paul suffered for the sake of the gospel being heard. And those soldiers fought for the sake of every American today who has the freedom to walk outside the door, walk inside a church, and overall just like the independence from other countries and leaders that we have this unique freedom. The American dream, they might call it. Like, people who don't live in America, they move here because they want that freedom. I think we take it for granted because we just have it. So Paul's story, I think we need to like go back, because Philippians is his letter to the Philippian church while he's in prison. But Paul actually used to be a really bad guy. He used to, I mean, you guys probably have heard about him. He's the guy that, you know, barged into people's houses, pulled them out, dragged them out. He was the one who's approved of Stephen stoning. He was persecuting and killing and writing, you know, notices so that he could arrest every Christian. Like, he was kind of just rampaging people's towns. And so he's this really bad guy, and he doesn't seem like he has anything good that can come from this. And so in Acts chapter 9, that's like where the context for Philippians is. So Saul is still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues, so that if he found any belonging to the way, the, you know, Christianity, men or women, he might bring them bound to the prisons. And to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless. They heard the voice, but they didn't see this bright light. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he couldn't see anything. So they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days, he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. So this guy's like, I don't know, he's definitely being effective. He's killed a lot of people. This might be what you think of as the terrorists of today. I don't know what you guys, like, if you guys watch the news, but it's pretty scary, like, seeing how people can just come into a town and destroy it. And that's exactly what he was doing. And he was successful most of the time. But God stopped him in his tracks. He blinded him and told him, no, you think you're serving me, but you're not. You're actually killing my people. He actually said, why are you persecuting me? Jesus said that to Saul. And it's like, these are my people. You're killing my people. And so what's so amazing about this is that God also goes to Ananias, this guy who lives in Damascus, and tells him, you're going to meet this guy who is blind, and you're going to tell him, like, what to do. He's going to have to suffer for the sake of the gospel. And Ananias is like, I've heard about this guy. He's been killing Christians left and right, and I don't know if you realize, I'm a Christian. Like, I don't think this is a good idea. And God's like, I already said this is what you're going to do. So basically, the Lord said to him, rise and go to this street called Straight and the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he's praying. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. So, like, not only was he doing it, but, like, he had authority. Like, the government had given full rein. Yeah, go ahead. Lock him up. Like, there was nothing really holding him back. He's like, I've heard of all the evil that he's been doing to the saints. And now he has authority to do this. The Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias obeyed. He went outside. He saw Saul. He brought him in. He laid his hands on him. And Saul was given his sight again. And then Ananias told him all that, like, God told him what to tell him, that he would now share the gospel. He would be as zealous as he was before, but he would be sharing the gospel everywhere he went. And so that's how we get into Philippians. It's like, he has been now going from town to town sharing the gospel, and people are like, wait, wasn't that the guy who was, like, killing us before, like, killing our friends, our family? Like, how are we going to trust him? And a lot of people didn't. And he told them, like, I know that I used to be that really bad guy, but I met Jesus on the road. It was not by, you know, a Pharisee or by a book that I learned about this God. He met me, and he told me that I was persecuting his church. And so now I have been somehow flipped around, and now I'm actually serving Jesus. Now join me as I share the gospel, and trust me. I mean, that would have been so difficult. Yeah. So this story is just amazing. But he goes from being, like, a zealous terrorist to being a zealous discipler, evangelist, like what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share the gospel wherever we are and be a light just by how we live. Yeah, I love how God can use what was meant for evil for good. And that shows up in the Bible over and over again. Something that's important about Paul, what he writes in Philippians 1, is that, so he's telling them, hey, like, I'm in prison, I'm writing you this letter, but hey, it's all fine and dandy. Like, everybody knows I'm here for the sake of the gospel. You guys have been taking care of me, sending me food, sending me blankets. You've been so good to me. I'm so thankful. And he goes, and some people are, like, preaching the gospel out of spite, like, to make my life harder. But he's like, it doesn't matter. Like, the gospel is being shared. And so I really admire Paul for having that humble perspective of, it doesn't matter if he's getting praise, it's about the gospel being shared. And so back when I was in high school, me and my friends joined a marching band. And although it's not really a sport, it's like, it's pretty exhausting. So we did all the same warm-ups you would do at, like, football. Like, we would run, we would do push-ups, we would, yeah, we'd have to run laps and do all these warm-ups and things like that. But if anybody was late to practice, then everybody had to run, like, double laps or something like that. And I remember, I don't like running. I remember when these guys would, like, on purpose be standing just a little bit far away, and the coach would be like, come on, like, let's go. And they would just stand there. And so they wanted to run. They wanted to cause trouble. And that was really annoying. And so we all would have to run because these guys would always do that. And so that's kind of how I thought of, like, Paul's like, I'm sharing the gospel. I'm risking my life. I'm now in a prison for the sake of the gospel. And these people are trying to make my life harder. And they're trying to, you know, make him, kind of make him look bad, make them look good. And so it's just like, it's really frustrating, but it's like, whatever, like we're all here. We're going to have to run. It'll make us stronger to be able to do this, I guess. Yeah. Cause those guys just went out of their way to make it difficult for us. Secondly, yeah, he says some indeed. So this is Philippians 1:15-18. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others do it from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. But Paul doesn't let them discourage him or stop him from sharing the gospel everywhere he goes, even in prison. He says, what then? It doesn't matter if they're sharing it out of envy, like, does it matter the fact that they're doing it from a selfish motivation? He's going to continue to do what God has called him to do. He said, what then? Only that in every way, whether then in pretense or in truth. So pretense being if they're doing it out of a selfish motivation. Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. And like that needs to be our attitude. And I definitely struggle with that part where, like, you go out of your way to talk to somebody. You, like, have such a heart for them. You're like, I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want them to be lost. I don't want them to have to go through all this pain. And so you think that you're being so loving. You come up to them and you tell them about Jesus. And they make fun of you, or they reject you, or they curse at you. And sometimes I face that in the restaurant environment. People get really angry when their food is not ready in 2 minutes. And I work at a restaurant where, like, they make the food right then and there on the grill for you. And so it's, like, fast food, but it's a little bit better than, say, like, Panda Express, where it's just sitting in bowls with, like, the heat over it. And so, like, I deal with a lot of customers that come through the window, and they're like, it should be ready in 2 minutes, you know? It's like, no, this is good food. Like, it takes time. And so there's been times where I answer the phone of an angry customer. I may have been the one to mess up the order. It could have been another coworker. Regardless, they're going to curse at me. And I've had times where they said, you know, you're terrible at your job. You should be fired. They'll just swear. It's amazing how, like, when we don't have food, like, hangry is a real, I think it's a real disease. And so there are times where I wanted to defend myself. Like, you can't treat me that way. Like, it's not my fault that we messed up your food. Somebody else messed it up. Like, there were times I was tempted to do that, but I would feel that conviction in my head of, like, this is your opportunity to shine, because they're expecting you to come back at them. They're expecting you to be rude, maybe swear back. I mean, you shouldn't do that when you're serving people, even if you're not a believer. Like, that, like, when you work in a restaurant, if you do that, you'll probably get fired. But in this case, I'm on the phone with them, so nobody knows that this is happening. And so I had this opportunity to say, how can I fix your problem? How can I help you? And if they don't take it, I say, have a nice day, and I hang up. And it's not like anything. I didn't share the gospel with them. I didn't even maybe change their mind about being upset. But I bet 5 minutes later, they completely forgot about it because they got food at Taco Bell, and now they're all good to go. But I've also had times where people come into the store angry, and you have to face them, and you have to be willing to be kind of humiliated in that moment. Because, I don't know, you feel inadequate. You feel like, oh, I can't do my job, or I messed that up. I gave them the wrong drink. We went to a diner the other day, and there was a new guy, and, like, I know how that feels. I know how it feels to be the new guy or the new girl. And he gave us, like, I asked for orange juice, and he gave me apple juice. And I was like, whatever, I'll drink it. Like, what's the big deal? And then he gave Betty and John the wrong orders, too. And it was just kind of funny. But, like, other people, you know, might even say, like, you're a terrible person. People get so upset when things aren't right. Like, it's okay. It doesn't have to be a big deal. But this is a way that you can stick out, is by being kind when people are rude, being patient when people are not, like when they're honking at you behind you at a green light, and you just choose not to, you know, people have flipped me off when I'm driving, and I'm like, have a good day! Like, I'm not gonna get angry. Like, that's not going to do any good. And I guess you guys are out of school right now, but something that you can do, and this might be hard, but when you're at school and everybody, like, you know, you look past each other and they all look at their phone and they avoid eye contact at all costs. Is it like that at school? Do you guys, like, I don't know, does everybody kind of just avoid each other? Is that just me? Yeah? Like, or you'll be walking on the sidewalk and you'll see another person walking their dog. Both of you will grab your phone out, absolutely doing nothing, and avoid eye contact, avoid talking to them. Okay, maybe it's just me, but I don't know. It's not even that I, like, you know, hate the person or whatever. It's just out of, like, I'm uncomfortable, right? And we gotta, like, break through that, because we gotta stick out as lights in this world, because darkness is just gonna keep coming. And so when we smile at somebody, when we say, hey, have a nice day, when you pass them, when you are really kind to a barista or a waiter or a cashier, and you're, like, extra patient, like, that's going to speak volumes to them. They're gonna be like, this person wasn't rude like the other one was. What's different about them? And then they see on your sweatshirt and it says, like, Jesus loves you. Immediate moment of, like, oh, I keep seeing these people with these Christian sweatshirts and they all act like this. What's different about them? And so that's how you can be lights in this world. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the ability to just sit out here freely, to soak in your word, to learn about a man who could have just been, you know, a terrorist, and then you could have just gotten rid of him, but you chose to use him as an instrument. And now we have this book, the book of Philippians, to read through. And we're just so thankful for the encouragement that your word gives us, and that you encourage us to be lights. I pray for these students, Lord, that they would just be brave, that they would be kind, that they would go out of their way to bless people, and that they would just be lights in this world. We thank you for this day. Amen.
Amen.